Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Small talk with strippers, a consumer's guide. Later, strippers on the loose, Sterling at night.
I know you think you hate your HOA, but it's only a fraction of the level of hatred that this 53-year-old Florida man has for his HOA. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here with stories of our eight kids and our old falling apart house.
It just has character, that's all.
Coming up this week,
our dog died, my dad continues to defy the odds and the doctors, we have adult kids moving out, and the youngest has the man flu.
Hey, man flu's real.
Ugh.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
It's a great invention, but now they need to go one step further. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. I'll explain later tonight here on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story of what it was like to go quasi-undercover as a rookie cop to catch drug dealers. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Food deserts, growing, shoplifting, self-checkout, details, people of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free, 888-688-WALT.
Okay, everybody who calls in tonight, when you call in tonight, I will share with you this piece of audio. If you can identify it, you win a prize announcement. That's right, you win a prize announcement if you can identify this. Three TV themes from this century. If you can identify them, you win a prize announcement. Do you want to hear them again? Of course you do. And besides, it gives me a chance to kill 17 seconds. WALT 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. That is the official live Sterling on Sunday vanity phone number, 888-688-WALT. Oh, look at that. All the radio geeks are listening tonight. I can feel it. I know they are. They're listening to hear how many mistakes I have made. Let me assure you, the biggest mistake I have made is this show. That is the biggest mistake, but not as big a mistake as this husband. I saw this, you know, I'm attracted to stupid, and this particular story struck me as so stupid. You and I have a particular relationship with our significant other that when we go out and we go among the public and we have to visit our in-laws, our horrible, wretched in-laws, our terrible in-laws, that we expect our significant other to behave in a certain way. There's a certain behavior that's expected. We expect them to address us a certain way. In my case, I expect to be addressed as sir. What did I just drop? There's something very loud that just dropped. What the heck? Oh, I see. Completely unimportant. The cell phone doesn't matter. In fact, the cell phone causes static on the radio at a bad time, always at bad times. I expect my significant other, my current wife, to call me sir, but this guy takes it. Since my wife and I have been together, I have worked as a manager for a restaurant chain. Now, it doesn't say if it's Chuck E. Cheese. I don't know which restaurant chain. I doubt if it's one of those expensive ones. I can't recall a single time we've ever argued to the point of breakup or divorce. This issue is causing me to reconsider the health of our relationship. Now, you've just been forced to spend a weekend with your significant other. You may even have to spend tomorrow with them because, you know, it's a legal holiday. And by the way, attention, Sterling on Sunday affiliates. Hello, I'm on your schedule. Hello, Steve Moore, I'm on your schedule. And therefore, if you need a fill-in or a guest star, as it should be called, to work the show for one of your full-time hosts, I'm here. I have a Comrex set up, this beautiful microphone, and I come to you live from where? My laundry room. Live from my laundry room. I can go on any station at a moment's notice. I've been on WABC over and over and over again at KMOX and WPHT and KFBK until they wised up. I've been on all these stations. And I won't embarrass you. I had a lot to do with many of the FCC laws that are in existence. I'm not going to screw up. All right. This guy has never been to the point of divorce with his current wife. He says, but then it gets exciting. I am extremely passionate about aviation in my free time. I have spent thousands of dollars on flight textbooks, sim gear, and even built my own A330 setup. My own A3330 setup. Okay. Have you ever known anybody who's obsessed with aviation, who's not a working pilot? Have you ever known one of these people who always goes to all the air shows, goes to every air show? They are the most fanatical group of people. They get blinders on. Their face changes when they start talking about air shows. Believe me, they don't fit in. This is a show for misfits. Welcome, aviation enthusiasts. You don't fit in. You're freaks. Well, now this husband says, I have never actually flown a plane or started flight training, but I have considered it for a long time. Even though my skills are not a career, I still consider myself, listen carefully, I still consider myself as adept or possibly more knowledgeable than the average pilot. This guy who's a fan of aviation, who has studied it and the manuals and built a simulator in his basement, he thinks he's possibly more knowledgeable about flying than the average pilot. He's never flown anything, but it gets better. Here's where the problem arises. My wife and I are invited to one of her co-workers' houses for a barbecue. Now, my wife is a senior software engineer for a COVID startup. What the hell is a COVID startup? The disease is over. There's no startup industry as a result of the disease. She's worked there since 2020. A lucky catch after she was laid off from her previous job. TMI, we don't care. This was his first time meeting many of her now close co-workers due to COVID and working from home. I had assumed she'd talked about me before, but as we were cycling through the introductions, I became less sure that she had ever introduced me or talked to anybody at work about me. This is about me. We make our own way down the line to the host of the party, a new male hire that she has grown platonically close with. Hey, buddy, let me tell you, if you think your wife is getting platonically close to anybody at work, you are kidding yourself. We exchange casual conversation with the host, and he asked what I do for a living. Normal conversation at work. My wife chimes in. He manages a fast food chain. It certainly comes as some benefits, free food. In a voice that implied nothing was wrong with what she said, I very quickly corrected her. She introduced him correctly. He's the manager of a fast food chain restaurant. We don't know which one. Could be Chuck E. Cheese. I'm guessing more and more that it's Chuck E. Cheese. Here's the best part. My wife already knows how insecure I am about my job at Chuck E. Cheese and how much I'd rather be introduced by my hobby. His hobby is aviation. He wants to be introduced. I told my wife to introduce me as a pilot. He wants to be introduced to his wife's boss as a pilot. I've earned the title of pilot through my 500 hours on and sim and thousands of dollars put into my craft. I think it is incredibly disrespectful for her not to acknowledge my skills and training as a pilot. Just because I don't have the title of pilot on an overpriced piece of paper doesn't mean I'm not a pilot. As we pack into the car to leave, the argument starts. She feels as if I don't deserve my title as a pilot because I'm not a professional. I told her she is completely insensitive to the work I've done, and she will never understand what it's like to study so much. Well, she won't understand what it's like to study so much. Let's see, what did the wife do again? The wife is a senior software technician. A senior software technician. You know how hard that is as opposed to being an imaginary pilot? An imaginary demand from her real husband to his soon-to-be-gone wife. Does your significant other, does your husband or wife make you acknowledge certain things that are imaginary? I mean, for example, my current wife has to imagine that I'm a professional talk show host, but, you know, I'm just talking to myself in the basement. What does your significant other make you pretend is true? Pretend truths demanded by your significant other. And when you call in, I will ask you to guess this. What are those TV show themes? 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. This, ladies and gentlemen, is live. It's Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follow her down to a bridge by a fountain where rocking horse people eat marshmallow pies.
You're at the strip club. You got your dollar bills a-flowing. You want to impress the young lady dancing away and jiggling for you. And you want to make some small talk. Here's some words and phrases that you should never use. Quote unquote, I acknowledge your personhood and recognize that you're providing a service that is deserving of my respect. No stripper would ever believe it, and they would automatically think you're a beta man. Do not ever go up to the strip club DJ and say, can you turn down the music while I call my wife? Helpful hint here. When you go to the strip club and you're a married guy, get a hall pass. If you have a good open relationship with your bride, you should say, hey, me and the boys, we're going to go to the strip club. Is that okay? All righty. She goes, don't go to the champagne room. All right, honey, I won't. She goes, how much are you bringing? You go, $75. And she goes, yeah, you're going to the champagne room. All right. Another thing, never to ask an exotic dancer. I bet you make a lot of money. Yeah, that's what you go from there. You don't say that. As the exotic dancer is beginning to disrobe, never say this. Ooh, I wonder what's underneath there. It's her naked body. You should have an idea. You're an adult. Doggone it. Another thing, never to say to your exotic dancer friend, I bet you can climb a wall like Spider-Man. Also, this pickup line with a stripper. My younger brother has special needs, and my dad died when we were very young, so I've always felt like I was responsible for it. That ain't gonna help. She just wants your $20, your $40 for a lap dance. Gang, when you go to a strip club, here's what you do. If you want attention by the ladies, bring out a Guido roll. That's a roll of dollar bills with a 20 on the outside, or maybe 100 on the outside, that's wrapped up in a rubber band. That is what these women want and what they desire. Your line should be, you're beautiful, and thank you. Say thank you. It's a pretty good deal, especially at a strip club. From the champagne room, this is Velo Hool for Sterling at Night.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. live. We've had 60-degree weather this weekend, snow this weekend. You're driving along Route 80. You're in a truck. And there's one thing you're wondering about. Are they going to test me for marijuana? This is the biggest problem that truckers and trucking companies have today, where a marijuana test is a lousy indicator of whether or not you're stoned, because the marijuana stays in your system for about a month. About a month. It's not like booze. It stays in for about a month. At home, in the safety of your own home, no one bothering you. You're not bothering anybody. You have a joint. In a legal state, in a state where it's recreational, like New Jersey. Imagine getting stoned in New Jersey. You can smoke a joint, stare at the ceiling for hours, and eat New Jersey pizza and hot dogs from Five Points. There is nothing greater than New Jersey pizza, northern New Jersey pizza. Don't give me that. It's Southern Deliverance pizza, northern New Jersey pizza, Tony Soprano pizza. That's the real deal. And you get stoned. Then 2 weeks later, you go to work and you're subjected to a drug test to drive the 18-wheeler. You haven't had a joint in 2 weeks. It's still going to show up. That's insane. And you know what? It is hurting trucking companies from recruiting ace drivers, great drivers. And it's hurting truckers who need to earn a living and had had a tough time the past few years from ever getting a license, driving a truck, getting hired. It's crazy. You're driving an 18-wheeler on I-90, up and down the 5, up and down the strange I-4 in Florida, Route 80 all across the country. The Garden State Parkway, the Jersey Turnpike, all of these extraordinary roads, these beautiful roads, and they're the most beautiful right now. They're the most beautiful at 10:28 at night, 7:28 at night. This is when they're perfect, because it's still light enough that the fast food joints and the truck stops are wide open and serving food. They're not just all depressing the way they are at 2 in the morning. Serving maybe coffee, maybe a burger. I don't know. It's disgusting. But this is the right time to stop at a truck stop at Iowa 80. This is it. And you want to be on the road. You want to bond with other truckers. You failed at the marijuana test, and you can't. And it's just wrong. It's dumb. All of these rules are dumb. The biggest dumb rule is that it's nice that Jersey makes it legal and Oregon has been waiting and Colorado was founded so that people could smoke a joint. The tragedy is that the federal government has yet to recognize the legality of marijuana. The federal government hasn't recognized it. And as a result, legitimate, honest, hardworking marijuana stores, dispensaries, whatever you want to call them, they can't bank. They have to come up with all these wacky schemes to do their banking. All right, coming up tonight, I have a great deal of fun things for you, including Thea Landon. Thea Landon is a remarkable woman. She writes books constantly. You should get her books, because what are they about? Science fiction. Lesbians in Space. She writes about lesbian relationships in space, which is all any of you want to talk about. Because what do we seek? Research shows that what you want is shows about space, lesbianism, and science fiction. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you. All right, let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
I know you think you hate your HOA, but it's only a fraction of the level of hatred that this 53-year-old Florida man has for his HOA. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here with stories of our 8 kids and our old falling apart house.
It just has character, that's all.
Coming up this week,
Our dog died. My dad continues to defy the odds and the doctors. We have adult kids moving out, and the youngest has the man flu.
Hey, man flu's real.
Ugh.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
It's a great invention, but now they need to go one step further. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. I'll explain later tonight here on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story of what it was like to go quasi-undercover as a rookie cop to catch drug dealers. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Food deserts, growing, shoplifting, self-checkout, details, people of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free, 888-688-WALT.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in space.
Who wear sports bras.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new video on our channel.
Today is going to be a really good one, a really special one to our hearts.
We are about to go meet up with our friend Jen and take her to the airport to collect her girlfriend from Australia.
Yeah, long-distance relationship. Meeting after, I don't know, it's been like 6 months, I think, right?
So we're shamelessly stealing those keywords and explaining them for views on our channel, because what else would we do? We're super excited that Amelia's coming home, yeah. And I can't wait for them to be together again and to have her here. She's going to be in the city with us for the summer.
Yay!
You're just like staring.
Oh, you should get your sign out.
Well, I'm having it. I have all three.
We put all this effort for my sign.
Hello, guys. Welcome to Modern Day Sarah and Rachel. That was about a week ago, and we are so happy to have Amelia back in the States, and we hope you guys enjoyed seeing their little reunion.
This was just a pretty short little video that we made just because this is a really fun memory that we want to have, so we are putting it up on the channel, but I hope you guys enjoyed it, too.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space.
Who wear sports bras.
All right, everybody's very excited. 40 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. My name's Walter M. Sterling. I was shocked by this husband, who's not a pilot, but he's a pilot hobbyist. He reads about being a pilot. He goes into simulators, and therefore he wants his wife, who has a real job, to call him a pilot, to introduce him as a pilot. And this has almost brought them to a divorce. What does your significant other make you do that's to pretend? What's the significant other do that makes you you insist? For example, maybe she constantly says you're skinny, but we know you're not skinny. John in Kansas City, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. The number is 888-688-WALT. Hello, John.
Hi, Walt. How you doing?
Well, you're in Kansas City. You're in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And the plaza is beautiful at Christmas, and you have Arthur Bryant ribs. You have the best ribs in the world, and pretty mm-hmm. little women who can't wait to move to Chicago.
Yes, all those are true. However, you also have to dodge bullets. We're the number one murder capital. It's hard to maneuver through the streets to get to those places you mentioned, et cetera, because of all the crime and the
Wait a minute, John, calm down. That is not what another elected official said about Kansas City. This is what he said about a different city.
Jackson is the murder capital of the world, and that is not a title that we should be proud of, and the thought of doing nothing should not be an option.
Jackson, Mississippi is the murder capital of the world, my friend.
Well, okay, we're at least in the top three, St. Louis, Detroit, and KC. I did not know who the Jackson was. I'm sorry, Jackson. But, however, if everybody perhaps would just partake more of what has been legalized recreational here in KC, maybe we could all just take a chill pill. But I wanted to bring out, Walt.
Yes.
Factually, because I'm an activist from way back when with Jack Herer, and if you're interested, look up the movie 420, the documentary. 420, the documentary. But here's what's wrong with all those arguments from before the truckers in New Jersey. One, they did a study, many studies, and people that take a little bit of cannabis are better drivers than regular drivers or alcoholic drivers, obviously, because it, the certain strains, there are 1,000 different strains, about 300 sativa, which is more upper, like energetic and alertness, and 300 indica, which are in the couch, makes you, that's the traditional story. Wow, yeah. Man, I'm
listen,
too lazy.
John, you're not, John, stop. You're not going to go through every type of cannabis on this national radio show. You need to drive home your point. What is your point?
The Delta 10, for example, makes you way more alert. So if they were smart, and in 1997, the endocannabinoid system was discovered by Israel.
John, thank you very much for your call. I appreciate your call. You made me bang on the microphone. I didn't even get a chance to ask him, what are the TV shows that go with these themes? WALT. What are those three television show themes? They are from this century. I know usually on this station, the questions evolve around things from many earlier centuries, like they're constitutional guys, always quoting the Constitution like they know. Believe me, if they actually knew the Constitution, they'd be practicing constitutional law and making a fortune. They wouldn't be radio talk show hosts. Trust me on this. 888-688-WALT. You can win a prize announcement if you know those themes. Those themes. Coming up in just seconds, we're going to talk to a DoorDash driver based in Fairbanks, Alaska. And that is where you should get information about UFO and balloons and things being shot down over Alaska. You should get it from an Alaskan, not some serious reporter for CBS News. We're covering CBS. We're very serious up here. We've dragged a crew of 80 to cover something we aren't going to see, and we don't know if it exists. But, you know, the one rule, if you're a reporter, if you're a street reporter and you're on the road doing reports, the rule is you have to eat with the crew. If you're the executive producer, the line producer, or the host on scene, you have to eat with the crew. That is the etiquette. And listen, crew, let me give you a tip. They hate it. They hate having to eat with you. But that is the protocol, the etiquette of being a news reporter on television. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Coming up, our DoorDash driver with a report from Alaska. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me. Please, go away from me.
All right, 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. This is how you do a talk show. It's like a morning show, but it's at midnight. It's a morning show whenever I'm on because it's exciting, current, and urgent. Keith Fons, a DoorDash driver in Alaska, not someone reporting from Mexico about sightings in Alaska. Keith, These balloons, these shootdowns, all of these UFOs over Alaska, how do you feel about this? How do your friends feel about what is the mood of the state of Alaska in Fairbanks? Well, actually, he's in the North Pole. Keith is actually in the North Pole. It's a real town, no kidding. Hey, Keith, you know, you are such an asset to this show. I can't begin to tell you how excited and happy I am that we have a correspondent in Alaska. And all these other talk shows that like to talk about Alaska, or they like to talk about the stuff flying over Alaska, it's just theory to them, pure theory. But, Keith, you're the real deal, a DoorDash driver in Alaska. Keith, what's going on?
So this week, the U.S. Air Force has intercepted two Russian bombers, and they also intercepted... let's see, there was a SU-30 and an SU-35 fighter jet off the coast of Alaska. Now, this happens like 6 or 7 times a year. Alaska and Russia, it's only 55 miles apart. And so about 6 or 7 times a year, our Air Force scrambles jets up, intercept their aircraft that get too close to ours. But twice in 1 week, that's just kind of interesting.
And what do your friends think it is? What do you think it is? What's going on up there?
Honestly, I think it has to do with, like, the spy balloons and stuff. I think we're being tested by other nations about our reaction and how close they can actually get to our airspace for some reason or another. It's just... You know, like I said, all we have is 55 miles from Alaska to Russia, and a lot of people in Russia just feel like we're the front line if something happens between another nation and America, and this state is one of the number one states that protect the Second Amendment. So pretty much everybody here is like watching Red Dawn, the movie, hoping, you know, but it's not really got us worried. It's just interesting how close we are and what they're attempting to do.
Your former governor, whose name, of course, escaped me right now, kept talking about how she can see Russia from her front porch. She can see Russia from her front porch. Do you miss her? Do the people of Alaska miss that governor?
No, Palin, no, yeah. That's a sore subject. She tried to run again this year. Or last year for a Senate seat, and she got shot down horribly. And ever since then, we haven't heard from her again. It's just, she was the governor here, then she ran down to the lower 48, made a bunch of money, and didn't have Alaska's interest, and the voters showed her, like, we don't want you representing us.
I'll bet you that when Donald Trump starts getting serious about running and he needs to have a running mate, a vice president, I'll bet you he picks Sarah Palin. What do you think about that?
I don't know about that one. Who is that late? Haley or somebody like that?
Nikki Hatchell, something like that.
She was the UN ambassador. She said that she was going to run against or run for president, and I could see Trump, if he did run, choosing her so that way she doesn't run against him.
Well, here's the interesting thing about what you just said. You said if he runs again. Here's the thing. Most people would say if he runs again. He already declared. A month ago, he declared that he wants to be president. He declared it, and nobody noticed. That's amazing to me. But who wants to talk about this? Have you seen any of these balloons? Have you seen any of the balloons that fly over Alaska? Are you intimate with any of them?
No, but what's interesting about that real quick is they shot it down like, what, a week ago over Alaska. They leaked photos of this cylinder, this gray cylinder. But then this week they're saying, oh, we gave up search for the object. Wait a minute. You leaked photos, which means you know where it's at. You have a visual of it. But you're telling the American people now, oh, we can't go and recover it. That's kind of fishy. That's just, you know, that's interesting.
Keith Fons, a DoorDash driver in Alaska. All of this is fishy. None of it makes any sense. Stuff flies over our countries all the time. Canada, the state of Alaska, the United States, and Mexico flies over stuff all the time. And now they're saying they're retuning the radar to be able to more effectively see these things. The fact is that NORAD knows exactly where anything that flies over us launched from. They can identify the launch point. They know when it was launched and where it was launched from. And now they're being all coy, you know, gee, we don't know. It may be this. They know. They know everything. That's why we spent billions and billions and billions of dollars to equip your state, Alaska, with the most sensitive radar and spies in the sky possible. We know everything. You know, one of the
Everything that, but they're just not wanting to tell the public. You know, like Area 51. There's so many stories behind that where the government always knows more than what we do, which is kind of funny. They're supposed to work for us, but they hide a lot of information from us.
And I don't know to what end. Like, what is the point? And I, by the way, Keith Fons in Alaska, I don't believe that China is floating balloons over us to see how we would react militarily. They know how we'd react militarily, and they know that we could level them in any country that we wanted. Keith, you're the best. Will you come on next week?
Definitely.
Gather information from your friends and neighbors. Spy on your friends and neighbors. Find out whatever you can about how they feel, and then report it to us on Sterling on Sunday. Thank you so much, Keith. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk to Thea Landon, a woman who writes erotic lesbian books about space travel. Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
I know you think you hate your HOA, but it's only a fraction of the level of hatred that this 53-year-old Florida man has for his HOA. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here with stories of our eight kids and our old falling apart house.
It just has character, that's all.
Coming up this week,
our dog died. My dad continues to defy the odds and the doctors. We have adult kids moving out, and the youngest has the man flu.
Hey, man flu's real.
Ugh.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
It's a great invention, but now they need to go one step further. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. I'll explain later tonight here on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story of what it was like to go quasi-undercover as a rookie cop to catch drug dealers. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Food deserts, growing, shoplifting, self-checkout, details, people of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free, 888-688-WALT.
I am shocked that Judy from Dallas will be joining us in a few minutes and tell us a dad joke. We haven't heard from her for months. We thought she had vanished or gotten a paying job. But Judy from Dallas will be on with us in seconds. But now, Thea Landon, my favorite author, has agreed to join us tonight. Thea Landon, did you actually get to the gym today?
I did, 8:45 every Sunday morning.
It's so impressive to me that on your Twitter feed, which is my very favorite Twitter feed, and I will let you give your handle in just a second, but it seems that most of your Twitter feed, even though you write filthy books and you indulge in lesbian fantasies, always good, is that most of your Twitter feed is about you debating whether or not to go to the gym. Is that a fair assessment?
I don't know how much of a debate it really is, because most of the time I do wind up going. It's just trying to balance it with everything else. But I aim for four times a week, and I usually get there.
How long do you stay at the gym, and do you have a trainer?
It is a one-hour class. I am a member of Orange Theory Fitness, and for me, it strikes the perfect balance of group instruction with a coach who runs the class. So if your form isn't good on the floor, you need a little extra motivation, the coach is right there for you, ready to help you out. And you go in, you do what they tell you to do for 60 minutes, and you go home and go on with the rest of your day, and I love that.
The only way I used to go to the gym on a regular basis was because there was a trainer waiting. And any trainer in America could beat me up with their thumb. Therefore, I was afraid of him. I was afraid not to show up. The trainer I found to be essential. Now, Thea Landon, let's get to business. What is okay. the name of your latest book?
It is not out yet. I'm hoping it's coming out in the next few weeks because I just saw the near-completed cover. The title is Searching the Skies, and it is actually the first book in a 5-book series. And when I say that was a marathon beginning to end to do this whole 5-book series, marathon is an understatement.
Do you have any passages from that book or another book that you could share with us so that people understand why I'm so enthusiastic about your books?
I do, but first I have to complain that you're really going to make me read something out loud. I like to think I'm an outgoing, dynamic person, and as soon as someone asks me to actually read my own words out loud, I just revert to a boring monotone. But if you promise not to judge me too much, I guess I could give you a little sneak peek, a preview.
We'd appreciate that because it is radio and because... It's better for you to read it than me because you may think you have a monotone, but I tend to stumble. Therefore, please share with us, Thea Landon, please.
Okay, I tried to find an excerpt that really captures what the book's about, so let's see if we can guess what's going on with this one. She swirled the remnants of her drink in the bottom of her glass before finishing it off. Too bad I can't have both of you at the same time, she half-joked. Her murmured statement lingered in the air as no one said anything after her. The prolonged silence grew uncomfortable as her words echoed in her mind. Heat crept into her cheeks, and she cursed herself for what she'd spoken aloud. Now I've gone and ruined everything. Several eternal moments later, Ash was the first to speak. If it's what you really want... Geneva blinked. What? Oh, how silly of me. I didn't think you'd say it if you didn't mean it. And I don't want to give away too many secrets, so I think I'll cut off there. But I will specify that there is another man in the room, too, in case that wasn't clear.
How many people are in that room?
3, the magic number for this series. Well, except for the 5 books, but 3 main characters.
2 women and a guy?
1 woman and 2 guys. I decided to mix things up a little bit. Got to keep it exciting.
She's a self-proclaimed writer of filthy books. That is her Twitter handle. And what is your Twitter handle so that millions can follow along with you as I do?
It is my name, Thea Landon, and I'm going to spell it because everyone gets the vowels wrong. It's T-H-E-A-L-A-N-D-E-N. The E is the crucial one. Everyone wants to give me a no. There's no O in my name. I save it for the book. Sorry, couldn't resist the bad joke.
Thank you, Vanna. Now, do you please share with us exactly where we can go to buy your books?
Most of them are, well, no, I take that back. All of them are on Amazon. Some of them are Amazon exclusives through their Kindle Unlimited program. But some of my older works are also on Barnes & Noble. Gosh, I think a few are still on Apple Books, but I am not an iPerson, so I can't say with 100% certainty, but Amazon's always the safest bet.
The great thing about being a filthy book writer is that you get to decide at some point whether or not to tell members of your family. Have you told your parents yet?
Still holding off on telling my father. I know I have to do it eventually. But, you know, as we've been talking about this, I think I've realized there's sort of an order of operations here, because I know whenever I do tell my father, his first concern is going to be, will this affect my day job? So I'm thinking maybe if I tell my boss first, because she also doesn't know about this, even though I'm coming up on my 10-year anniversary for working for her, if I tell her first, then maybe that'll make things go smoother with my father, and I can tell him he has nothing to worry about. I will still be employed.
A metaphysical question. How does a apparently straight woman married with children spend so much time writing lesbian erotic fiction?
Well, there's a number of reasons. First of all, even though I am living the suburban dream with my husband and kids and my giant SUV to drive everyone around, I do identify as bisexual, but I realize since, you know, the whole living the suburban dream thing, I haven't had any of the same issues as other people who are more outwardly bisexual, gay, all the other letters, anything they've had. So I don't want to take away from anyone else's experiences. So if people want to think I'm straight, I'm okay with that. But I love women, too, and I love writing about women.
Does your father know you're bi?
No. How's that for an answer? No.
All right. This is Thea Landon, easily one of my top three favorite guests. Thea, you're going to be on a lot more. It's L-A-N-D-E-N. I must share with you the fact that I have three daughters, and I'm driving one of them to dance class one day. Pleasant drive, listening to... what is it? Listening to the group Greer. She really likes the group Greer, and it's a great group, but we're listening to this. And out of nowhere, over the causeway, she says to me, she's 16, she says to me, "And you know, Dad, I'm bi." And I realize that the next thing I say is going to impact her the rest of her life and could determine whether or not we get along the rest of her life. So I looked at her and I said, "You're bi? Does that mean I'm going to have to pay for two weddings?" And it went just fine. And we have a great relationship. Thea Landon.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Just fine. And... and my hunch is a lot of it with her is we'll see. You know, it's like, we'll see. She was 16. Thea Landon, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. It is always a pleasure to speak with a dirty book writer, an erotic fiction writer focused on space and lesbianism. It's made in heaven. Thank you, Thea Landon. Thanks for being on Sterling on Sunday. It's 18 past the hour. Walter M. Sterling live, live, live. Yes, we're live. And coming up in seconds, Judy from Dallas with a bad dad joke. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
I'm always overwhelmed by the words of Frank Rizzo, the last great mayor of Philadelphia. The man who had it handled, everything was under control. There is Judy in Dallas. Judy in Dallas, where have you been?
Hi, how are you?
Excited to talk to you. I am humbled to talk to you. Yes, I can hear you.
Very good.
Wait, stop. Where have you been?
I have been in indisposed.
Are you feeling better?
Yes, I'm feeling good.
You sound better. You sound better than you used to sound, so things must be going well.
Well, thank you.
I would like you to tell us a dad joke. Tell us a bad dad joke.
Well, Walter, let me ask you, did you know that diarrhea is hereditary?
Diarrhea is hereditary? I didn't know that, Judy.
Yes, it runs in your genes.
We burn.
Angeles, always an honor to have you with us at 24 past the hour. You better come back next week. We missed her with the great dad jokes.
Yes.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for calling in, Judy. A pleasure to talk to you. We can't have that go on. That's why I say thank you for calling, and then magic is supposed to happen, and they disappear. 888-688-WALT. Can you guess the shows that those themes are from? Can you guess them? If you do, you win a prize announcement. 888-688-WALT. I shared with you the fact that my middle kid, Meredith, beautiful, brilliant Meredith, was in a terrible car wreck at the end of December, first week in January, somewhere in there. And, you know, if you and I go to the hospital, we have to beg to stay a second night. If you're pregnant and you deliver a baby in the hospital, good luck getting a second night because of insane insurance. Therefore, to stay in a hospital more than one night, something's going on. She was in the hospital for three nights after this car wreck, and I have to point out very clearly she was a passenger, a non-tort passenger. The result of this is she now goes to physical therapy a couple times a week. She needs to talk about it. She's been phobic about sitting in a passenger seat. And this was a traumatic event, as it would be for you. I shared this with you a couple weeks ago, and you gave me the best advice. The best advice was, yes, get a lawyer. Number two, she had a concussion, and she's a minor, and therefore she's in no shape to make any directional advice about what to do next. And you be the father. You be a grown-up and be the father. We got a great lawyer gathering the information we need, and we'll see what happens. But the fact is that she was through a lot, and I love her for what she went through, and she was brave, and she continues to be brave. And you know where she is right now? She's in Woodstock, New York. Have you ever been to Woodstock, New York? That's not where they had the concert. They had the concert in Bethel, New York, a couple miles down the road. And in a magnificent field, which I believe is landmark, nothing's going to be put on that field. That field will be there forever. But Woodstock, New York is your old hippie fantasy. This, I'm sure, is where David Crosby has been put to rest. Every shop has a dream catcher outside. They have many interesting flags with many rainbow colors. And it's just a sweet place. Many of the people who went to the Woodstock Festival stayed there. And they got an apartment. They started a retail business. The town itself of Woodstock is filled with tiny, adorable, it's the only way to describe it, little shops. And for the first time in her life, my Meredith and her friend Eliza, troublesome Eliza, who always causes trouble. But you know why I really like Eliza and I respect her? Meredith's best friend, Eliza, thinks Meredith's dad is funny. Now, most people in real life do not think I'm funny. In fact, my mother's parting words as she lied on her deathbed in Summit, New Jersey, my mother's dying words were, remember, not everyone's going to think you're funny. And it's true. And my 10-year-old, when I say, oh, forgive me, she's 11 now, my 11-year-old, Samantha, I'll say to Samantha, and you know, Samantha, I'm a funny man. Without missing a beat, she looks at me and goes, you're not a funny man, Dad. You're not a funny man, Dad. And that's my life. I need my Meredith's best friend, Eliza, to acknowledge the fact that I am funny. And my daughters don't think so, and my 11-year-old knows that I'm not. In fact, I'll tell you a law. This is a law of society. If somebody says to you, well, I think I have a good sense of humor, they don't. Anybody who announces they have a good sense of humor, they don't. Stand-up comics do not think they're funny. They live in pain over the reality that they don't think they're funny, even though you're laughing. If somebody says, well, I'm pretty smart, they're not. If somebody says, you know, I think I'm a really good boss. I think I manage this place well. They don't. Because the people who are funny are smart, our leaders, spend their lives agonizing over whether or not they are funny enough. thoughtfully enough of a leader. They're obsessed with it. They would never declare it. It would never occur to them to declare it because that's an a-hole. Only an a-hole would say, well, you know, I think I'm very smart. No, you're not very smart. You're not. You're not funny. You're not. The people in your life who declare their positive character traits do not have those character traits because they're always agonizing inside whether or not they have those character traits. This is pretty deep stuff for 30 minutes past the hour at night. I think we're getting way into the weeds here. And therefore, coming up, we're going to have Florida stories, and we will have Vic Ferrari's True Tales of a New York City Retired Detective. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Zahi Hawass.
Don't talk to me. Please go away from me.
Tonight.
I know you think you hate your HOA, but it's only a fraction of the level of hatred that this 53-year-old Florida man has for his HOA. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here with stories of our eight kids and our old falling apart house.
It just has character, that's all.
Coming up this week.
Our dog died. My dad continues to defy the odds and the doctors. We have adult kids moving out, and the youngest has the man flu.
Hey, man flu's real.
Ugh.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
It's a great invention, but now they need to go one step further. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. I'll explain later tonight here on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story of what it was like to go quasi-undercover as a rookie cop to catch drug dealers. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Food deserts, growing, shoplifting, self-checkout, details, people of Walmart, later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free, 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Thank you. So good to have you here. All right. For our first Florida story, just let me ask you, do you hate your HOA? We're going to Seminole County here, and this guy has been living in Seminole County for a while in the same little townhome, and he hates his HOA. And it starts off bad, and then after month, year after year, his hate grew to the hot, hot heat of a thousand suns, and it got so bad that this 53-year-old Florida man decided that he is going to burn down his townhouse and then shoot himself. Well, that's the plan. First part of it goes fine. He throws gasoline all over his apartment. He lights a match. There's a giant boom. And then he sits on the steps outside the property, puts the pistol to his neck, fires. But he doesn't die. Paramedics find him before it's too late. They save him. He's now being charged with arson. And after that amazing story I just told you, the reason why you like Florida Stories, hearing it from me better than the news, is because they tell the whole story backwards. Listen, they tell it exactly backwards. We go to WESH.
He set his own condo unit on fire to get back at the HOA.
The fire happened on Crown Oaks Way in the Springs community in Longwood. Investigators say Mark Herman likely used some sort of accelerant to start it.
It says a statement from a treating paramedic said that Mark Herman stated he started the fire in an act of revenge against the homeowners association in charge of this property.
They just told it backwards. You're supposed to start with the HOA dispute and end with the fire, not start with the fire and end with the HOA dispute. And if my HOA is watching, I have no problems with HOAs whatsoever, nor leaving my trash cans out front too long. That's for sure.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Oh, my God. Can you believe it? It's so exciting to be with you. 40 minutes past the hour. It's a morning show at midnight. This is Sterling on Sunday. It doesn't fit in. That's the challenge great program directors like Steve Moore and Bill White have. what do I do with this show? Like, I really like this show, but it doesn't fit in. I will tell you a quick story. I used to run a radio station that used the format that I invented called Adult Contemporary. Look it up. I invented it. Shut up, all you drips. You didn't. I did. And I put it on WYNY 97.1 in New York. Now it's Hot 97, a rap station. Anyway, WYNY was one of the first adult contemporary stations, and it played Anne Murray, Barbara Streisand, Barry Manilow, Neil Diamond. They were all making currents at the time. They were all making brand new songs. And James Taylor, that's what we played. And then I hired the biggest personalities in the world in American radio to be the disc jockeys. Dick Summer, Dandy Dan Daniel, incredibly talented people, Steve O'Brien. And they did a great job. And the general manager was a brilliant man named Dan Griffin. And after him was another brilliant man named Al Brady Law. Anyway, it played this kind of music all day and night. And it had a very good rhythm. And it was very successful, thanks to Pete Salant, the program director. Well, along comes a show called Saturday with Sinatra. Sinatra music for 4 or 5 hours to be played on Saturday nights. And, oh, my gosh, all of the official programming people were saying, well, you know, it doesn't fit in. You know, it doesn't fit in. You're playing James Taylor, and now you've got Sinatra songs on Saturday. People will be confused, Walter. They'll be very confused. They're all worried about how confused people would be about this. But here's my belief about American radio. Here's my belief about you, which is that if a show is good, and you hear it on this station, you will listen to it, whether or not it fits in. You don't listen to see if it fits in. You listen to be entertained, to have a good time. And on rare, rare, desperate occasions, you listen to be informed. But I'm not going to commit any of those crimes, am I, Meredith? No way. What Saturday with Sinatra did is it played Sinatra music hosted by a terrific Sid Marks, who was the disc jockey. He had a relationship with Sinatra, we think. Later, I came to learn that he paid Sinatra protection money so he could stay Saturday with Sinatra. He paid this Sinatra business money each month. How about that? Well, now, we put on this show called Saturday with Sinatra, playing Sinatra records by the greatest singer alive at the time. And you know what else Sinatra would do? About once a year, he would visit the show live, and he would read a commercial or two or three. Can you imagine that? Frank Sinatra would come in and do live reads. Well, the show got incredible ratings because, you see, I believe that the job of a radio show is to get great ratings. It doesn't matter if it fits in with shows that get less ratings. It got incredible ratings. But here, Mr. Market Manager, Mr. Sales President, listen carefully to the next thing I'm about to say. Not only did it get great ratings, but Saturday with Sinatra, Saturday night, got the highest rates for commercials on that station. There was a waiting list to get on that station, a waiting list to get on Saturday night. That's a radio show. That's what happens when you put on a good show that doesn't fit in. Would you like to win a prize announcement? The way you win a prize announcement is you call me at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT, and tell me where those three theme songs come from. Which TV shows do they come from? 45 past the hour, I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
On Sunday, inspired by the words of William Shatner.
Follower down.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida Story, we're going to Brevard County, where I didn't know this was illegal, but a guy is fishing off the pier, which is legal, but he catches a shark. He pulls it up to the beach, whips out a hammer, and beats the shark to death.
Now, so far, I don't see that anything's wrong, because if you catch any other fish, you're just going to kill it and probably eat it, right? But the guy's in trouble because he threw it back. I think it's illegal to kill sharks unless they're attacking you or whatever. But clearly he's in trouble for what he did, because the news has a problem with it. This is WESH again. Yeah, these nerds.
Video captures a shark being beaten with a hammer on a Brevard County beach.
This video is graphic, and we want to warn you that you may find it disturbing. West News' Dave McDaniel looks at the incident that's now being investigated.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is it illegal to beat a killing machine with a hammer? I'm sorry. I thought this was America. You know, sharks, if they had their way with you, if the fight had gone the other way, the shark wouldn't have felt guilty about killing the human being. I don't think this guy should feel too guilty about killing a shark. I don't think he went out there seeking to kill a shark. And yeah, it's kind of sloppy and barbaric in the way the shark was killed. But any other fish that he pulls out of there, if he ends up killing it and eating it, there's no problem with that. I guess his crime was he didn't eat it. Next time, just eat the shark. Is that the lesson learned here? I don't know. I have no idea.
Wait. Hold my beard. What? Hold my beard.
I'm a beard. What? What?
For our next Florida story, this is a sad one. Miami-Dade County, we have this guy's working on the canal. And through part of the canal, it has to go under a roadway. And so they have these big culverts, like these giant concrete pipes. And I dare call them a pipe. A human being can walk through them. But I guess there's some maintenance that's to be done in these things. And a Florida man, he's down there. And I mean, what a job you have to put on, no matter what the temperature is outside. You have to go underwater in a scuba suit and perform some sort of industrial maintenance on a underwater canal culvert. And he's supposed to come up after 30 minutes. Well, it's after 40 minutes, his coworkers get concerned and they go looking for him. It takes him a long time to find him. When they find him, technically, he's still alive, but he's unconscious. They helicopter him to the hospital, but it's no avail. And there's no punchlines here. Other than the fact of, man, every way you can think of possibly dying happens in Florida. I mean, this poor guy, I don't know how you're going to die, but the odds, you're more likely to win the Powerball than die in a scuba suit under a canal culvert in a giant pipe. Hold my beard.
Wait. Hold my beard. What? Hold my beard.
Hold my beard.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I'm live on a Sunday night at 888-688-WALT. Meredith and Eliza are listening right now, 888-688-9258. We'll speak to all of our Midnight Misfits coming up in just seconds. But now, here's Barry on Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Barry.
Yeah, hi. Well, the one thing I wanted to, like, complain about is that, okay, you tell people to email you questions about the show. And I used to do that, but then after a while, you said to stop emailing you and to start calling the show with your questions. So that's what I've been doing, you know.
I much prefer you to call than to send an email, because then everybody can hear it. And when I have a lot of phone calls, I think it's a better show. What do you think, Barry?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I'd rather talk to you on the phone, even though it takes longer, but I get your reaction on the phone.
I think we could be very close, Barry. Do you have a question now?
But you're going to keep the email. So you still want people to email you, though, right?
WalterMSterling@gmail. WalterMSterling@gmail. And my Twitter account, my Twitter feed is Walter Sterling. That's my handle. Walter Sterling is the Twitter feed, and we tweet way too much. Yes, Barry, what's your question?
Well, I don't really have a question.
I have a question for you, Barry. You ready?
Okay.
These are TV themes. Which shows do they come from? If you get all three, you win a prize announcement, Barry. What shows are they from?
Well, they must be new shows because I'm, I don't know. They're not old shows, probably.
Barry, I really appreciate that you call. I appreciate the emails. I never take it for granted. And I thank you very much for listening to Sterling on Sunday. My number is 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. And remember, the Twitter handle is Walter Sterling. And that's where I put up secret messages like right now. You know what I just put up on Twitter is a picture of where I work. And earlier today, I put up a mugshot. Now, what's a mugshot? That's what I'd like you to do. I put up a picture of myself holding up a mug, therefore a mugshot. Whatever mug I was using, probably one that says Dad's World's Greatest Dad. World's Greatest Dad. That's probably the one I put up. I'd like to see a mugshot from you. Take that overpriced camera, that wasteful camera that you got, known as a phone. Take a picture of yourself with your favorite mug, with a mug, and send it to me at waltermsterling@gmail.com. I put them up on Instagram later in the week. waltermsterling@gmail.com. Take a picture of the mug you're drinking out of right now and send it to me. I love to see these pictures. These are so great. The tragedy of our time. We used to be on the air in Chicago, and then a corporation got freaking chicken. Cowered out, decided to put on a show about operating systems. Nobody cares about unless you have that operating system. I used to get the best photos from the Chicago police. The Chicago police on duty, I'd get it from multiple Chicago police who'd put up the pictures, take the pictures under bridges, under tunnels, terrifying images, beautiful images. It was fantastic. Are you a police officer? You're working right now in that car? I would love to see a photo from you. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. This is the time for us. This is our time. Late on a Sunday night, you're alone, guaranteed you're alone, and I'm alone about 10 inches away from the microphone, and you're about 10 inches away from the speaker. There's nothing more intimate in media than late night radio, and nothing that moves product like late night radio, gentlemen. That is why I am eternally grateful to Mike Doucette, the owner of Northern Ad Agency. Mike Doucette makes this show possible in every way possible. He is my spiritual radio Sherpa. Mike Doucette, the owner of Northern Ad Agency, based in Minnesota, not in Brooklyn, not in Beverly Hills, not in Santa Monica, not in Long Beach. Oh, that was some trip. I got to tell you about the ad agency I visited in Long Beach. Oh, my God. I don't know when they did work. They just were very busy sitting around wearing all black and trying to look cool. They were all carrying around their Macs, and they could plug them in any spot, and therefore it was innovative, and they were without walls. Oh, my gosh. Welcome. This is a live radio show, Sterling on Sunday.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here with stories of our eight kids in our old falling apart house.
It just has character, that's all.
Coming up this week.
Our dog died. My dad continues to defy the odds and the doctors. We have adult kids moving out. And the youngest has the man flu.
Hey, man flu's real.
Ugh.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
It's a great invention, but now they need to go one step further. I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk host. I'll explain later tonight here on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired NYPD Detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I share a story of what it was like to go quasi-undercover as a rookie cop to catch drug dealers. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Food deserts, growing, shoplifting, self-checkout, details, people of Walmart. Later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free, 888-688-9258. WALT.
It's the Dan and Becky update here on Sterling on Sunday. Is it okay to say I'm not upset that the dog died?
I think under the circumstances, he needed to go. The poor guy was ancient. He couldn't see. He couldn't hear. We were trying to figure out if it was time to put him down because right. He was happy. He was a happy dog. We'd had him forever. He's 13, old guy, and he just, it was his time.
So we knew it was coming.
Yes.
And I guess it's the best way possible. He died on your lap.
In my arms. And that dog loved me. That dog, he followed me around. It didn't matter where I went. He learned to open every bathroom door in the house so that he could be with me no matter what. So, yeah, he went peacefully on my lap. So what better way could he have gone?
I dug a hole in the backyard, and that's where I buried him.
All right, and we've lost two rats this year, and we lost a dog, and it's just been an emotional mess. So even though, you know, it was his time, and you weren't the saddest, the poor kids, it was tough. It's a tough thing.
Next in our busy life, the adult kids are moving in, they're moving out.
And it can't come fast enough. I feel like we've been preparing to move one kid out for months. We have. But then we had another kid that had to move back in because of a car accident and a change in career. And now both of those kids are moving out. And it's slow going because we've had other things going on, haven't been able to catch up. But at least they know now, because the decision was, will they take the dog because it belonged to one of the children that is now an adult, or won't they? So they should be moving out sooner, just alone.
Hey, and in the midst of all this, your father is still on hospice care and hanging on.
I can't say enough good things about hospice nurses. They are angels. Everyone who works for that organization is amazing, because when someone is terminally ill and you know that it's time for them to go and there's nothing more that you can do for their condition, it's really hard on the family, incredibly hard on the family, even though, you know, that's the direction it's going. We've known that for over 3 years, but when it's finally here and you're trying to figure that out, you need their help. So I'm just going to say, if you want to meet an angel, call hospice.
And the final update is our 6-year-old has a cold. And you call it the man flu.
Right, because he's exactly like his father. And any kind of little sniffle or anything that happens, he's down for the count.
Men in the audience know that man flu is we have more white blood cells, so
more wimpy blood cells. What did you say?
When we get sick, it affects us more.
Let me just say that through the last couple of weeks, we've had two different illnesses. We've had this stomach flu that was absolutely horrible, and now we have this cold. And who's taking care of everybody in the house? Mostly our 14-year-old daughter, who literally gets up, vomits, and then goes in to throw a load of laundry in so that the rest of the kids who are vomiting have clean sheets. Okay, she's a rock star, and the rest of those boys have had the man flu. 6-year-old last night, coughing like as hard as he can possibly cough, asking me if it's his last days, telling me he needs a cane because he can't walk because he's so ill.
Right.
So again, I just would like to say, every time this happens in our house, you justify how you guys just get so much sicker.
Right.
And no, it's just that, you know, there's a 14-year-old girl somewhere. He'll come clean up your stuff and you can sit there and sleep. I really believe that's what it is. I think most of the women in the audience would agree with me.
Just a little taste of what's happening this week at our house. For Sterling on Sunday, it's Dan and Becky Gaffney.
I'm exhausted listening to that. I'm just exhausted. They have a 150-year-old house and 400 children, and oh my gosh. Exhausting. Now, $10 billion, $10 billion has already been paid out to New York City firemen for cancer and respiratory illness compensation from 9/11. I was in Manhattan within walking distance of the World Trade Center when it came down. And Christy Todd Whitman was the head of the EPA at the time. She was head of the Environmental Protection Agency. And Christy Todd Whitman very quickly announced to all of us that the air is safe. $10 billion in compensation for cancer and respiratory illnesses to the New York City Fire Department so far. Christy Todd Whitman told us everything was safe. Everything's fine. Look over here. Pay no attention to the burning timbers, to the molten iron that was at the 9/11 pit. Pay no attention to that. It's not true. She told us everything was fine. The governor of New Jersey. Now, let's step back a minute and think about New Jersey. I'm sure that the fires on September 11th at the World Trade Center to the governor of New Jersey look like a normal day. Look like the Meadowlands of New Jersey on a normal day, or Trenton, for example. I'm sure it did. However, she assured us everything was fine, just the way we are being told that the train wreck in Ohio is just fine. Nothing to worry about. The people who live there, go back to your homes. Go back to your homes. They purposely exploded the most vicious, horrible, poisonous chemicals. Here, this is what they should have done to the residents of Old Palestine. And who knew that was in existence? Who knew that town was there? They should have taken them all to the very best hotel 150 miles away, paid for everything 150 miles away, taking care of the pets, taking care of everything. The train company should have compensated every one of those people already with safe housing, and not in a gym, not in a Red Cross shelter, which is a gym with cots. No, send them to the best hotel 150 miles away, in a suburb of Cleveland or Columbus. Instead, they're telling them nothing's going on here. Pay no attention. Now, the dumbest thing ever always comes out of Oregon, and I will share that with you coming up in seconds. It's 15 past the hour. Welcome to Route 80, I-5, the 101. You're in your 18-wheeler, and if you're in your 18-wheeler, I want you to listen to this. And then call in and win a prize announcement. Where do these theme songs for TV shows come from? Coming up in seconds on Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Will Ferrell.
I'm listening to what you're asking me, and if you're not listening to my answers, let's just call it a day.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Okay, for our last Florida Story, we're going to Homestead. And in Homestead, we have a hard situation here. Mom and Dad are going through money problems because neither one of them is currently employed. Dad just lost his job. Bills are piling up. And they got to get a bunch of stuff together to pawn. So they get some small appliances. Dad has a couple of guns. There's some jewelry, some hand-me-downs. And all they got to do is drop the daughter off at kindergarten and then go to the pawn shop. However, somehow, this is the story at least, it got mixed up and Dad's pistol ended up in the daughter's backpack. So the daughter shows up to kindergarten and when she opens up her backpack, there's a gun in here. Whoops. So the teacher hears the commotion, checks it out, immediately tells the principal. They go through all the proper channels here. But, you know, the news makes it sound horrible. A Homestead kindergarten student found with gun and backpack, father facing felony charge. They make it sound so brutal, but I mean, I almost feel sorry for the dad here. Here's the story from Local 10.
Was found in a kindergartner's backpack.
And the little girl's dad is now facing serious charges. Let's get right to Local 10's Trent Kelly live with this shocking story today. Trent.
Well, Calvin, according to police, that 40 caliber unloaded handgun was discovered by a teacher. The father of that girl apparently forgot his gun in his daughter's backpack as they were planning to pawn that gun later in the day.
The fact that it was unloaded and no one was in danger the entire time makes the whole, you know, tone like this is some horrible tragedy. Ridiculously overblown. Again, I am not pro guns in kindergartners' backpacks. Yo, Florida, you've got all kinds of natural disasters going on. You've got hurricanes, you've got pythons, you've got crocodiles and alligators, Casey Anthony, George Zimmerman, homeless people doing bath salts, biting people's faces off, and 0% of your mayhem comes from kindergartners with unloaded guns. So let's not act like this is one of the top priorities you guys need to tackle in order to get things under control in Florida. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
This concludes today's episodes of Florida Stories. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at Walter Sterling Show.
radio.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story.
888-688-WALT. Everybody's very sweaty and excited. This is the Midnight Misfit, part of our giant show. Linda in New York at 888-688-WALT. Welcome, Linda. Welcome to our well-sponsored show.
Thank you, Walt. Comment and then question. It was nice to hear that the lady is doing well who gives us a chuckle with her jokes. And the question is, how is your daughter that was in the accident doing?
Well, I shared about that a little while ago. I'm happy to tell you. First of all, I am shocked and thrilled that Judy from Dallas with the bad dad jokes has returned. And she sounds better because when she was on before, she had a terrible wheezing sound. She had an oxygen tank with her. I never knew how she got through it. But tonight, there was no wheezing. There was no oxygen tank. I'm very happy that Judy from Dallas is with us. We found her when we were on WBAP, which we should be on again tomorrow. It's shocking and disgusting that cowards run that station and that we're not on that station. But a real radio station, it would be an honor to be on that station in Dallas. There's a great all-news station in Dallas. We should be on that. All right, 888-688-WALT. Now, my daughter Meredith, at the end of December, first week in January, I shared with you the fact that she was in a terrible car accident. Fortunately, she was the passenger, which makes a lot of things much easier, at least for us, not for her. She goes to physical therapy twice a week. She talks to a therapist. She has been to a pediatric dentist who repaired her bottom teeth. All of her bottom teeth were pushed in and chipped when she slammed against the windshield, even though the airbags came out. Thank God for the airbags. She has been to an orthopedist, a bone expert, because she has constant sores in her wrists and her ankles, and she's a ballerina, and that leg was banged up really bad. Her left leg was banged up really bad. She is a determined and positive child, so she walks the earth as though nothing happened. She just goes to school, does her artwork. She's a great artist, and right now she's in Woodstock because she drove herself for 9 hours to get to her best friend in Brooklyn, New York. Her best friend lives in Brooklyn, Eliza. She is doing better. I think she should take it easier. I think she should take it easier, but she's 17, and I'm glad she has that drive and ambition. Those were her injuries. That's how she's doing, Linda. Thank you for asking. Do you have any other questions?
No, thank you for the update.
I'm happy and I'm flattered that you care about her. Now you're going to get a chance to win a prize announcement. Do you know where these TV themes come from? All right, Linda. As a great pop culture expert, Linda, where do those TV themes come from?
Well, I'm wondering if one of them is the Skinwalker History Channel Skinwalker Ranch theme.
Isn't it great that we have a documentary about Skinwalker Ranch where I'm sure everything is true? Don't you think everything's true, Linda?
Yes.
I'm sure of it. And I'm also convinced of all conspiracy theories. That's how they come into life. For example, on the Kennedy assassination, the theories don't go away. And let me tell you how the mind works, and I'm sure you know. The way the mind works is it keeps obsessing about something. It will obsess about something until it gets a truth. The minute you and I know about the truth of something, our brain calms down and we really don't think about it again. It's only when we haven't heard the truth and our brain knows it and can't file it away, that's when we keep thinking about it. That's when we obsess about it. That's how conspiracy theories happen. I believe everything on the Skinwalker Ranch. And I learned something else on the History Channel. And I thank you very much for your call, Linda. Thank you for the call at 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Clearly, Linda is a Midnight Misfit. If you would like to be a Midnight Misfit, it's easy. Go to Walter Sterling Show. Walter Sterling Show. WalterSterlingShow.com. And hit the Midnight Misfit tab. that James Copeland was so kind to put up there, the Midnight Misfit tab, and you will learn what it takes to be a misfit, what you're required to do, and you can download and print out a beautiful full-color membership card, which lists a decoder. We have a secret decoder. From time to time, I give out secret messages. You can only decode them with the decoder on the Midnight Misfit membership card. Three times fast. Midnight Misfit membership card. Midnight Misfit membership card. I'm Walter Sterling. I love being with you live on a Sunday night. Everything around me, every other show on every other station is a best of. Let me give you a clue. Let me give you a radio programming clue. There is no such thing as a best of talk show. The purpose of a talk show is to have live guests, lively conversation, and live phone calls. If none of those exist, it is not a radio show. It is a dead fish market. A best of is a dead fish market. I want you that to be emblazoned in your brain, that when you hear on the air, well, today we're going to have a best of, I want you to automatically think dead fish market, because that's what it is. This is a live radio show. What I learned on the History Channel, they have these specials called The Food That Built America, The Buildings That Built America, The Cars That Built America. Well, on The Food That Built America, I learned something pretty cool about Entenmann's cakes. And Mrs. Entenmann, whose granddaughter went to Syracuse University, and every Sunday morning when I was there and she was there, boxes and boxes of Entenmann's food showed up in the lounge. It was the best thing ever. But on the Food Channel, on the best food ever, or the America was built on this food, I learned that Entenmann wasn't a huge hit because of her cakes. They're terrific. We still love them. They were a huge hit because Mrs. Entenmann was the first one to figure out that putting a window on her boxes of food would make them sell. An actual piece of plastic over the food, that's what made them sell. That was her genius, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mayor Frank Rizzo.
Show you what kind of a man you are. You're less than a man. Okay? You're a crumb creep.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Miami to Mendocino. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser. A large upper air pattern change is on the way out west for mid to late week as waves of a low pressure system push into the American West out of western Canada and Alaska. Colder temperatures, strong winds, and periods of rain and low elevation snow will be on tap starting late Tuesday into next weekend. Sacramento and Las Vegas, for example, will go from a high temperature near 70 tomorrow under sunny skies for Washington's birthday or President's Day tomorrow to temperatures fighting to get out of the 40s with increasing rain chances by Thursday. Cold winds will gust to nearly 60 miles per hour in parts of the desert southwest with a passage of a cold front. That's going to be Tuesday night and Wednesday, so don't pack away the winter coat just yet. This is meteorologist Dr. Dave Iser with weather reports at 6 and 36 past every hour, only right here on Sterling on Sunday.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowitz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to share a story about how we did things in the 80s in the NYPD. So when you're a rookie cop and you get out of the police academy, back then you were assigned to field training. And what they would do is they would sprinkle rookie cops on foot posts throughout the Bronx. And we were basically told to figure it out. Now, if you had a question or a concern, you could raise the training sergeant over the radio and he would show up and help you. But if you kept calling the guy every 15 minutes, you were going to get a reputation for not knowing what you're doing. So you tried not to do that. So a lot of these locations where they would drop us off were drug prone locations. You know, be in front of a bogey or on a corner, and you'd have two, three guys dealing drugs. We would walk up there as rookie cops. They knew we were brand new out of the box, and they'd laugh at us and smile, and they wouldn't deal right in front of us. But at the same time, everything was stashed and nobody was you know, was buying drugs right in front of us. So we had to get creative if we wanted to catch these guys. So what we would do is we would go up on a rooftop, get a pair of binoculars, take our jacket and our hats off because you could see the shield or the cap device from a mile away. And we'd watch these guys dealing in front of a corner for, you know, 20 minutes, an hour. And then what we would do is we would slowly walk down. They didn't think that we had been watching them. And one cop would grab the guy that was dealing while the other cop searched under a license plate or underneath a lamppost, wherever they were keeping their stash of drugs or cash in some cases. Another thing we used to do is we would, if there wasn't a rooftop available, we would commandeer an ambulance and have like EMS park right on the corner sometimes. And we'd be in the back of the ambulance and then we'd have the ambulance drive a block or two away. And then we would get out and slowly walk down and make the arrest. And then when you really wanted to get inventive, we would commandeer a gypsy cab. Now, the funny thing is the gypsy cab was more than happy to help us out because as long as we weren't asking for their license or registration, which oftentimes they didn't have, we would just park a block or so away with tinted windows in the back of the cab. And then we would just roll up and jump out of the cab and start grabbing people and make the arrest because you were watching them deal for the last hour or whatever. After you do that a couple of times, now you got the drug dealers paranoid. And every time you walk up to the corner, they just light out of there because they don't know if you're just stopping by to give them a friendly hello and tell them to move. Or have you been watching them for the last hour or so and you're going to swoop in and make the arrest once again? I realize nowadays times have changed and the rookie cops are more coddled and spoon-fed where there's eight of them in a van with the training sergeant who answers their questions in every whim. But that's how we used to do things in the 80s. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Law and Disorder.
All right, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Welcome. You don't belong. That's why you're here. That's why we're happy to have you. And it's an honor, as always, at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And I want to congratulate the geniuses who run the Broadcasters Foundation of America. This is a very important organization. And Tim McCarthy and Peter Doyle run it. Tim McCarthy is the president. Peter Doyle is the vice president. Scott Herman is always inserting his name in the press releases, even though he doesn't seem to have an official title, but he's always inserting his name in press releases. What they have, let me explain what the Broadcasters Foundation of America is. People in broadcasting, radio and TV, often get lousy severance, don't manage their money well, but they get sick. And when they get sick, seriously ill, they need extra help with their rent, with their hospital bills, and they come to the Broadcasters Foundation of America to get relief, to tap into funds that were made specifically for broadcasters who have hit hard times. I'd like you to go to the website, broadcastersfoundationofamerica.org, broadcastersfoundationofamerica.org. Let me make sure that is, in fact, Broadcasters Foundation. No, it's broadcastersfoundation.org, broadcastersfoundation.org. And Timothy McCarthy, the president, has done something really smart. He is named, let me get it straight here. He is named, I'm sorry. I should have this in front of me, but that would require show prep at a level that no human can do. The Edward F. McLaughlin Lifetime Achievement Award. They are introducing the Edward F. McLaughlin Lifetime Achievement Award. And you can make donations to the Broadcasters Foundation, the Broadcasters Foundation, and you can look for the name Edward F. McLaughlin if you wanted to specifically go into his award. This is really smart. Radio is an industry that's terrified of something new. If I go to a Broadway show producer and I say, listen, David Merrick, I have a great idea for a Broadway show. It's going to have these sets, this scene. We can get these stars. It'll be fantastic. He'll go, well, that's really pretty interesting. But, you know, I can't do it because it's been done before. If I go to a television executive and pitch a pilot, pitch a show, a series, won't this be incredible? We'll set it by the seashore. We'll have teenagers running around in bikinis. We'll play hip-hop music. Won't that be fantastic? They'll go, yeah, that is fantastic, but it was on 8 years ago. We can't touch it. It's been done before. If I go to a radio executive with a brand-new idea, here's something new and exciting, why don't we try this? They'll listen and they'll go, well, that's really interesting. Who else is doing it? Where else is it being done? That's how it works in radio. Ed McLaughlin was the president of the ABC Radio Networks for many years. Before that, he was the general manager of KGO Radio in San Francisco, made that the number one radio station in San Francisco, a legendary, fabled radio station, later run by Al Racco and Mickey Luckoff, fabled, legendary broadcasters. Well, then he was the man who heard Rush Limbaugh, looked at Rush Limbaugh's ratings on KFBK in Sacramento and said, you know, I'm going to syndicate this show. And he did. He is the reason, combined with Rush's talent, it was his marketing skill that made that such a successful show. But here's the thing. I worked for Ed directly. He was my boss for 5 years. And let me tell you about this guy as a leader. You want a boss like this. First of all, Ed understood the management of the life-work balance. I'd say that Ed came to work about 15 days out of 30. And in those 15 days, when he would come in, he would make more smart decisions than all of his competitors combined. He'd whoop them in whatever it is they were trying to do. He'd kill them in whatever it is they were trying to do. It was effortless for him. And then he'd leave. He had his work-life balance worked out. If I brought Ed an idea, he didn't say, who else is doing it? Where else is it being done? He didn't care, because it was going to be an Ed McLaughlin idea. It was going to be an ABC Radio Network's idea. And this is what he did. I pray you do this for the people who work with you. He'd listen to the idea. He'd spot what was in it that would work. And then he would say, make it bigger. Whatever idea I brought him, it was like, make it bigger. And then he'd take you out for lunch or dinner and dare you to be great. We called them Dare to Be Great Nights. And Ed would say, okay, that's fine, but you've done this, but you can do much better. You can do much more. You can do better. You can make it bigger. And then when he was sold on the idea, he would marshal the resources of ABC Inc., and you had every single thing you needed. He'd get on the phone with anybody else at any other division, and he'd make it happen in 2 seconds because they would do it for Ed. That is a leader. Broadcastersfoundation.org. Take a look at it. See how there are people who you've listened to on the radio for years, and then one day they weren't on. They are probably the ones who need help. And that's the Broadcasters Foundation. Broadcasters Foundation of America raises the money to help people that you have enjoyed on the air, TV, or radio for years. And you wonder, gee, well, what happened to that woman? She was great. Well, maybe she fell on hard times. Maybe she got sick. Maybe her family can't help her. But you can. You can. Broadcastersfoundation.org. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Liza Schlesinger.
Gentlemen, let's say you get a girl to go home with you, all right? Let's say you get a girl to go back to your apartment by the grace of God.
All right, Walter M. Sterling, Sterling on Sunday, live on Sunday night. We can stay in touch at all times with Twitter. My Twitter handle is Walter Sterling. Go to Twitter now and sign up. Follow me, Walter Sterling. Follow me. Hello, follow me. You won't be a stalker or a catfisher. It's okay. Now, there's a terrific podcast that's short and sweet and street. It's called Sean Talks, S-E-A-N, not like Sean Cassidy, S-E-A-N, Sean Talks. And Sean talks authentically, and he talks about his life, and it's fascinating. You've got to hear this podcast. Get it wherever you get podcasts. Sean Talks. And the episode that just went up is episode number 25. You want to hear these podcasts. Then I am very grateful for Charles Van Zandt, who helps put together this show, and James Copeland, who is our spiritual guide. He's our spiritual guide. I told you that Oregon wanted to make another wacky law. I don't like Oregon. Every time I've been to Portland, I got depressed. You know, they don't have real bus lines. They don't have a bus line that goes, you know, the M22 or the C3. No, no. They call them Beaver, Elk, Deer. That's the name of their bus lines. How can you get, how is it possible to have a real city that has bus lines named Beaver? They propose in Oregon that they want all of their police officers to have a bachelor's degree. Only 1% of police departments in America require a bachelor's degree. Only 10% require that they be a graduate from high school. It's not necessary. This lawmaker says we're not saying that everybody has to have a PhD, but we're saying that we want to see folks begin to have a broader sense of the community and the world around them. They have the ability to injure and kill somebody, so we want them well-trained and understanding what's going on. We want them to understand Shakespeare in order to know whether or not to kill somebody. This is a stupid law. It's not going to happen. My friends, the greatest gift you and I can possibly be given, the greatest gift we can receive, is a request for help. And I hope when you have a friend who asks you for help, you say, how can I help you? If somebody comes to you and says they need money, believe me, they've thought about it for 2 months before they got up the guts to ask you for that money. If you don't, and you're thinking, gee, I can't pay their mortgage, I can't pay their rent. No, no. They're asking for enough money usually to get them a gallon of milk. We now have a bedtime story from the great Dick Summer.
Once upon a time, there was a sometimes land where the rain was soft and the sun was gentle and the summer birds were yellow and blue. And hearts were warm, and smiles were tender, and friends were always true. It was Prince Fantasy's land, a magic place, where you could go to close your eyes and watch for your name in lights, and listen for the crowd as it cheers you on, and feel and smell the hot breath of someone beautiful on your naked skin. You could taste soft, wet lips all night long. Long live Prince Fantasy. Blessings on his lovely land. I met you in his castle in the park. I was just passing through, I thought. Your hair was long and soft, dark brown then, and you walked with a high-heeled, head-tossing, easy-smiling self-confidence. You had your own apartment, your first new car, and a good start on a promising career. And a doll that you had since you were just a little girl. You let me touch the tender, empty place inside you that needed to be filled. You sucked my kisses in and nursed away my needs. And the rain was soft, and the sun was gentle, and the summer birds were yellow and blue. And our hearts were warm, and our smiles were tender, and we promised that we'd be true. I didn't expect to meet you there. I thought I was just passing through. I really didn't have time for love. I was hard at work selling chunks of my heart, fragments of my dreams, and the last few ounces of my self-respect to Lady Success. It was just one lovely summer and one amazing early autumn long ago. It shouldn't matter anymore. Your long dark brown hair would have silver streaks now. You still need your doll? Has your apartment become a house on the hill full of love and warmth and truth? Or did you and I make the same mistake? Did you lose half your heart because you were afraid to give it all away? Do you still have an empty place inside that needs to be filled? It took me all this time to find out that I do. It's a place full of loneliness and joy and magic and fear. And I can feel them all every time I wonder if you still go for walks in Prince Fantasy's Magic Park with your high heels and your easy smile, your little girl doll, tossing your soft, silver-streaked hair. Or has it been too late too long since we were Fantasy's children, closing our eyes and watching our names and lights, listening for the cheers, feeling hot breath on our lovely naked skin, and tasting soft, wet lips all night long. Would you care that I finally learned that the fantasy was real? When the rain was soft and the sun was gentle and the summer birds were bright yellow and blue and our hearts were warm and our smiles were tender. And now I know the magic was always you.
My classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday.
All right. Right. Stay bright.